is by Dr. Sausan Abdul Rahim. Dr. Abdul Rahim is Associate Professor in the Faculty of Health Sciences at the American University in Beirut. She obtained her PhD in Health Behavior and Health Education from the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Her research straddles the areas of social inequalities, self-rated health, migration and health, primarily focusing on the health of Arab immigrants in the United States and labor migrants and refugees in Arab countries.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Peace Caucus for organizing this session and bringing people from different parts of the world to speak about what is happening in the Arab region with respect to war and its impact on health. I'm going to speak about a small population of Palestinian refugees from Syria as a follow-up to the presentation that was just completed by Dr. Zahir Sahloul. The issues that Dr. Zahir Sahloul addressed very much apply to Palestinian refugees from Syria as well. And I'll describe the results of a vulnerability assessment that was carried out last year on this group. Before I start, I just want to say that I declare that I have no financial relationships or commercial interests relevant to this presentation to disclose. I also included this unfortunate picture. I should have coordinated with Dr. Sahloul before the presentation so that only one of us would show it. But this is, again, like was just mentioned, this is a picture that I initially thought was Photoshop, but this is a real picture taken in the Yarmouk refugee camp in Syria, the largest Palestinian refugee camp in Syria. So Palestinian refugees started leaving Syria, and some of them trickled into Lebanon shortly after the onset of the Syrian crisis. And I use the term crisis because the situation is so complex that I don't know what else, you know, what other term to use that would be neutral. So the Syrian crisis that started in March 11. But the number of Palestinians coming into Lebanon actually did not start to increase until the second half of 2012 as the crisis intensified. So originally since the beginning of 2000, the crisis, and until the mid-2012, not a lot of Palestinians left. They actually preferred to stay in Syria. In December 2012, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, this is the organization that was established in 1949 to provide services specifically to Palestinian refugees who are actually not protected and are not under the mandate of the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So UNRWA, I'm going to use this acronym, UNRWA, issued a statement calling on all parties in the conflict to respect the neutrality of Palestinian refugees in Syria. However, this didn't transpire, and the crisis had penetrated Palestinian refugee areas, particularly Yarmouk, the largest Palestinian refugee concentration in Syria. So, slightly half of Palestinian refugees from Syria who currently reside in Lebanon entered Lebanon in 2013, and the largest proportion arrived during the first 3 months of that year. In May of 2014, the Lebanese authorities began to enforce restrictions, specifically preventing Palestinians from entering Lebanon, Palestinian refugees from Syria. As a result of that, the Palestinian refugee numbers started to decline, and since the second part of 2014, the numbers have remained stable. UNRWA predicted that there was 60,000 Palestinian refugees in Lebanon. However, during the summer of 2014, when they carried out a vulnerability assessment, they found they could only reach a little bit over 44,000 Palestinian refugees. And they expected that many of them had left either through the sea or other routes to other countries. So what I'm going to present are some results from an UNRWA vulnerability assessment of this population that was carried out during the summer of 2014. The assessment includes 12,764 families from Syria who in summer of 2014 lived in Lebanon. and this totaled approximately 44, little over 44,000 individuals. UNRWA used a questionnaire that was based on the World Food Program on the methodology of the vulnerability assessment that was carried out with the larger Syrian refugee population in Lebanon at that time. The profile of the Palestinian refugee families is drawn according to 8 established sectors of vulnerability: the economic, education, food security, health, non-food items such as a family owning a refrigerator or a stove, protection, shelter, water, sanitation, and hygiene wash. And what I'm going to present are really descriptive results of this report. The report has been published on the United Nations Relief and Works Agency website, and that is the link for anyone who would like to consult with the full report. This is a map of Lebanon, and this map is by UNHCR, and it shows the concentration of Syrian refugees in Lebanon. I couldn't find a similar map for Palestinian refugees from Syria. But just to show you the reality in Lebanon with respect to hosting a large number of refugees, Syrian and Palestinian refugees. So in June of 2014, the number of Syrian refugees who are registered was 1,070,000. This number is slightly higher right now, but not much higher, again, because the number of Syrian refugees has basically stabilized. With respect to Palestinian refugees, these numbers show the number of families, the table, I'm sorry, on the right, shows the number of families, Palestinian families, by region in Lebanon. And you can see that the largest number, and the largest proportion, resides in the Saida district, which is in the south of Lebanon, followed by Beirut, and then other regions. Just to make a point that, Palestinian refugees primarily live in independent dwellings, in apartments, and not in tents in Lebanon. One of the reasons for this is that Lebanon hosts, before the coming of Palestinian refugees from Syria, Lebanon hosted Palestinian refugees who came in 1948. So there are 12 established Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon. And half of the Palestinian refugees from Syria actually were absorbed into these camps since 2011 or 12. So 78% of Palestinian refugees live in independent dwellings, and some families live in a room inside a house. Otherwise, the numbers of Palestinian refugee families from Syria who live in a garage or a collective shelter or a tent is very small. Again, half of Palestinian refugees from Syria live inside one of the 12 Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, and the other half lives outside. If this is a little complex, I can answer any questions in the Q&A section. So the results of the UNRWA vulnerability assessment showed that 18.8% of Palestinian refugees from Syria are severely vulnerable in the health sector, and 8.8% are moderately vulnerable. So what we're working on is to look at the distal determinants of health sector vulnerability with a focus on things that are specific to the situation of Palestinian refugees from Syria: the loss of legal status, unemployment and debt, shelter conditions, food insecurity, and children's access to education. So I'll start with the loss of legal status. Just to provide some context, on the legal challenges that Palestinian refugees in Lebanon face, it's important to highlight that Lebanon is not signatory to the 1951 Refugee Convention. For the first 2 years of the Syrian crisis, the Lebanese government has respected the convention's main principle that's called non-refoulement, which means that a country, the host country, cannot force refugees to return back if they feel that their life is threatened in their country of origin. So at the beginning, this applied to both Syrian refugees and Palestinian refugees from Syria. However, because Palestinian refugees are not protected by UNHCR, they held a special status in Lebanon. And The United Nations Relief and Works Agency provides services to Palestinian refugees in the areas of relief, education, and health, but they do not provide the legal protections that UNHCR provides to other refugee populations. So what the Lebanese government did with respect to Palestinian refugees from Lebanon is that they instituted a policy that these individuals or families who came in as refugees would be considered as residents in Lebanon and had to apply for residency on an annual basis. To renew a residency costs $200 per person per year. So the results of the vulnerability assessment that showed that whereas the overwhelming majority of Palestinian refugees from Syria entered Lebanon legally as refugees, during the summer of 2014, only 8.63% of them had a valid residency. The rest were considered to be illegal. And the assessment showed that the three-quarters of the families indicated that they have restricted mobility and they have feelings of insecurity because of their illegal status in Lebanon. Again, with respect to work expenditures and debt, and this applies, of course, to other refugee groups and Syrian refugees, but specifically with respect to Palestinian refugees, in Syria, they actually had the full right to work and own property and other social and economic rights in Syria. After they left Syria and they arrived in Lebanon, prevents or has policies disallowing Palestinians from engaging in all syndicated professions in Lebanon. So for the most part, Palestinians work in the informal, Palestinian refugees in Lebanon work in the informal sector. So for the population to come from a country where they had full rights to employment and now in Lebanon they don't have the right to work had really negative consequences on their ability to find employment and on their risk of falling into debt. The vulnerability assessment that showed that Palestinian refugees from Syria face extremely limited employment opportunities in Lebanon, and that more than half of PRS families did not have any family member who worked during the month preceding the assessment. Female-headed families faced actually particularly grim livelihood conditions, as 4 out of 5 female-headed families did not have any working member during the month preceding the assessment. Actually, 30% of Palestinian refugee families from Syria were headed by a woman, and many of them had severe economic conditions. So this is just to show the difference between expenditures and the relief that Palestinian refugees from Syria receive. With respect to food, the food voucher by the World Food Program up until actually shortly after the summer of 2014 was $30 per person per month. The assessment showed that on average, an individual needed $85 a month for food. And Lebanon is a middle-income country, so $85 is really very little money. But on average, the refugees were spending $85 per person per month. I just wanted to mention that the $30 food voucher was later reduced to $27 and then to $19, and now a lot of the donors are saying that there's no money left to pay for these food vouchers. UNRWA also pays Palestinian refugees from Syria $100 a month per family as a subsidy for rent, and on average in Lebanon, a family pays $275 per rent. Of course, there's a range between families who live in an independent dwelling versus those who live in a tent, but on average it's $275. So just to show the discrepancy between what refugees receive in relief and what they need to spend, all in conditions where they are not able to work. Then what we have is that more than 3/4 of PRS families indicated that they are in debt, and the overwhelming majority said that they rely on UNRWA assistance to a large extent. Food insecurity is also a major issue, with 91% of PRS families reporting not having enough food or money to buy food at least once during the 3 months preceding the assessment. And the coping strategies that families followed was to reduce the number of meals or portion size, borrowing food from friends or relatives, restricting the consumption by adults so that young children would eat more. 40% of the families said that they basically used this coping strategy, and some adults would spend full days without eating. With respect to access to education for children, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency provides schools up to the secondary level for Palestinians. Its education is universally provided in Lebanon and Syria, for Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan, and Gaza and the West Bank. The results of the assessment of Palestinian refugees from Syria and Lebanon showed that despite the universal, that UNRWA provides universal access to education, after the crisis in 2014, it showed that for children between the ages of 6 and 18, only 57.64% of them were enrolled in school. 34% were previously enrolled, and 8% were never enrolled. There were no differences between boys and girls, really, in terms of enrollment. In many cases, girls are slightly protected at younger ages in terms of enrolling in school. And this figure shows school enrollment, the red in the bars, by age. So two main things is that at age 6, only half of the children are enrolled in school, and this is first grade. It starts to go up a little bit, but school enrollment does not go beyond 80%. So 20% of the children are not enrolled in school. At age 12, school dropout starts to happen, and by age 15 or 16, again, 30% of the children are not enrolled in school. This has severe consequences on the future of this community and their health profile. So I have 2 minutes. What I'm gonna do is just go over some summary and recommendations. It's really, I had to think, because the situation is so complex, I don't know what type of recommendations to make in this case. But just to say that a large proportion of Palestinian refugee families experience severe vulnerability in the health sector, 1 out of 5, and 8.8% are classified as moderately vulnerable. The findings on the distal determinants of health vulnerability show a grim picture of this community and these families in Lebanon with regards to lack of legal protections and lack of access to important resources such as employment and education for children. So basically what the report says is that Palestinian refugees from Syria need to be included into plans, a comprehensive plan for Syrian refugees in general, and not be neglected even though their numbers are small. In the meantime, humanitarian assistance is the lifeline for Palestinian refugee families in Lebanon, particularly because they're not allowed to work. So eliminating or reducing this assistance, which, you know, the UNHCR and UNRWA were going back and forth over the past 6 months or so, telling refugees that we don't have money anymore for relief. But eliminating or reducing this relief will have severe consequences on the ability of members of this population to cope with poverty and with displacement. And the other thing related to paying attention to also families who are moderately vulnerable is that with the elimination of this relief, it's very likely that families that are moderately vulnerable will fall into the severe vulnerability category. So that needs to be taken into account as well in future policies. Just want to acknowledge UNRWA for making available the data on which the report is based, and Ms. Jenna Harb, who helped with the statistical management and statistical analysis of the data. Thank you very much.